Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a dude, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Bienvenidos, señores y señores, al podcast de About Last Night con tus amigos Adam Ray y Brad Williams.
Hey, ¿dónde está? ¿Puedo ir al baño, queso? I just said, where is the bathroom? Can I go to the bathroom? Cheese.
Sure you did. Please, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to About Last Night show. I'm Brad Williams. There's Adam Ray. You don't have some sort of magical SAP button on your podcast machine, whatever that may be. We are coming to you from Mexico.
Yeah, Cabo San Lucas.
We are in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico.
The destination of married couples who want to escape their kids but have to bring them anyway. And for girls in their mid-30s who are looking to deflower a dwarf in a pool.
Yes. Not that that happened. It might have. Yeah, all right. All right.
It was our first day. It happened.
All right. It happened.
I can only imagine that the desire to have sex with a dwarf is only even higher when you're on vacation. Because you're on an exotic island. You feel like you're away from...
Mexico's an island?
You know what, Brad? Yes, it is.
It's an island in our hearts.
Thanks, Lion King.
But you are absolutely right. Like when people are on vacation, they want to do something a little crazy.
Yeah.
They want to have a little fun. And there's that... I mean, it used to just be what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That was where that phrase came from.
When did that phrase start, by the way? Because clearly anything that's ever happened in Vegas has not stayed in Vegas.
No.
Wives find out that their husbands fuck prostitutes.
Yes.
Parents find out that their kids gambled away their college fund.
Right, exactly. All that happens.
Grandma finds out that grandpa, you know, traded in his pacemaker for the fucking Grand Slam at Denny's.
Yeah, to pay back the mob.
Yeah.
So it happens. I don't know. I think it started, like, Vegas started that whole ad campaign maybe, like, 15 years ago.
It was a smart move because
adults, come here.
Yeah, because anytime you're saying whatever happens has to stay where it happened, I mean, that's – you're basically asking everyone to forfeit their right to have a secret.
Right.
And, dude, that might be one of the greatest privileges of being a human being. I mean, think about any time somebody tells you, hey, you promise not to tell somebody – or you promise not to tell anybody, you're already thinking of whose day you're going to make.
Oh, absolutely.
By telling them.
Absolutely.
Hey, guess what, man? Hey. I know who's having sex with Detlef Shrimp.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two podcast listeners are just going insane right now. Like, a Detlef Shrimp reference?
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
Well, it's Detlef Shrimp and,
he's
and
a
Detlef
legend.
Shrimp's stepson.
Yeah,
those are the two listeners going crazy.
That's true.
Now, why are we here in Cabo?
We are here in Cabo because I got an email from TravelZoo.
Well, let's just leave it at that and let the listeners decide why we're here.
I got an email.
We showed up. Hopefully we come back to the States.
It's so funny, though, because when I told everyone that I'm going to Cabo, and I'm just here to have a vacation. I worked 46 weeks on the road last year. That's a lot. And I never took one of those vacation weeks like just for myself. Like, some of the gigs are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They're a blast. But sometimes you just need to take a week or a few days just for you. And that's what I decided to do. And rather than have a bevy of semi-naked hot chicks in my villa, I decided to take my bromance buddy, Adam Ray.
Hey, just as good of a call.
Just as good of a call. You both look equally good in a swimsuit.
Thank you.
So.
I needed that today, man.
I was having a rough one.
It's right after that omelet, man, and a couple of Bloody Marys.
But we're having a great time here. And the whole... what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Now I think that's become a very overused phrase. Now I think people are just saying that no matter where they go.
Yeah.
Like, because, what happens in Cabo stays in Cabo. We've heard that a couple times. But I feel like now you go to, like, the Costco.
From us as we were peeing in the pool.
Right. Well, yeah, that too. That too.
Hey, kid, what happens in Cabo stays in Cabo. Turn around and shut up. Tell your dad, I swear to God, I'll pop your floaty.
Right. But now I think you have got, like, girls, like, saying stuff like, what happens at Trader Joe's? Stay at the Trader Joe's. Like, no, that's not... That's not.
So what you're saying is the role of the slut in the 21st century has really gained a lot of... they're able to step outside just one location.
Yeah, they're able to
justify their behaviors.
Yeah, they're able to say, you know what? I don't want to be a whore. Just...
What happens at the Target deli stays at the Target deli.
You know it. Those IKEA Swedish meatballs make me do some crazy ass shit.
They are good though. Let's not knock the IKEA meatballs.
No, not at all.
as if there's a future sponsor for us.
Yeah, exactly. This podcast brought to you by IKEA Swedish meatballs. Click on the microphone button above the IKEA Swedish meatballs logo at IKEA.com and enter the phrase "about last night balls," and you're gonna get 10% off.
Wow. If that's, I mean, shit, man, you just wrote the promo for them. Free of charge.
Yeah, so
if IKEA meatballs go up like 70% in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. That's why.
I'm gonna be irate.
Absolutely. Irate sounds like a weird Jewish name to me.
We've talked about this on the podcast.
Irate.
What's his first name though? Howard Irate? No. Irate Yastimsky.
Yastimsky.
Irate Rosenbaum.
Perfect. We've been having a good time in Mexico.
Having a great time.
Basically the thoughts here in Mexico is you wake up, you start drinking, and then you don't, like, everyone's trying to come up to us like, hey, you want to do bungee jumping?
Or yeah, we're going to the island, we're going into the mainland. Oh, really? Are you not aware of the fucking place you paid to stay at, man?
Yeah.
You're staying at, like we mentioned in the elevator, it's like when you're on the road and you're at the Holiday Inn Express in Kansas City, you're like, yeah, man, get me the fuck out of here so I can go to even a Cheesecake Factory is more exciting at this point.
Yeah.
But when you're hotel, you're looking at homes that look like they're on the, you know, TLC network, where couples are being like, I don't know if this is big enough, and you're sitting there being like, fuck you, I live with two roommates and I'm 30, and you're trying to decide whether 9 baths is enough for you and your fucking husband who's actually gay, you just don't know it yet. And then there's 9 pools out here, and it's like, and they're like, we're trying to go into the San Lucas to go into town. Go into town.
You're here.
Can go back into town once you fly back to the States.
You're here, exactly. And everyone, we got here. We're staying at a resort called the Cabo Azul Resort, which is
Spanish for the Cabo Blue Resort.
Oh, thank. Good job, Adam Ray.
Well, I took 3 years in high school, and it has not left my memory. As you,
you're winning. It's great, and
it was a journey for me to get here.
Oh, because you were coming from...
Well, I was coming from Denver to the Comedy Works for the first time. You've done it many times.
Best club in the country.
Yeah, it really is. I kept hearing that from numerous comics, and man, it lived up to it. Did the downtown one, which is much more intimate, mm-hmm. people right up on you. Then mm-hmm. the Landmark one, which is more of a theater, mini theater.
Yep. And
just as incredible. I headlined that one on one-nighter, so I did an hour that night.
Great.
And man, it was just awesome. It's just... It really, hey man, I love opening for you,
mm-hmm.
but man, I can see why headlining is so dope. To
right.
have an extra 30 minutes is just, and also, I'm also, hey man, the more you do it, the more comfortable you get. So I'm still, and you know, after the movie comes out, I'm going to be doing it a lot. So it's like, I need to.
That movie is The Heat with Melissa McCarthy, Sandra Bullock, America's Sweetheart, and our own Adam Ray, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
So, a little extra plugs.
Thank you, sir. But, you know, it's like just getting used to that time of having a beginning, middle, and end, of having
mm-hmm.
not just, oh, I'm crushing for 20, 25 minutes. You got to, like, there's much more being aware of pace and also the just knowing that I can take my time. And,
right.
you know, I do a lot of crowd work. I like to. And to be able to go into the crowd and have, if a moment is great, and to be spending, at one point I spent 10 minutes with a pothead and a woman who asked what she's doing, and she goes, bookkeeping purposes or something. She said it so fast, I go, booking penises? That's what I thought she said. It turned into a 10-minute thing where I was like, now, are you booking penis? Now, at first, I'm like, maybe you are, you book male gigolos, and you were
right.
trying to be fancy with the description of your job.
I book penises.
God damn it, hotel.
Oh. Woo!
Speaking of tiny pinatas, you should be a pinata.
I was very scared when we went to a beach party last night, and when they started saying, like, oh, we're going to do a bunch of Mexican traditions, I'm like, if they say piñata and they give people sticks, they're going to look at me and say, oh, that's the practice one. Like, I'm 4 foot nothing, you know, I'm dressed in colorful attire.
Yeah, you ripped it up last night, by the way.
Oh.
I might have to pull up the video footage on my phone, but...
Oh, boy.
Man, you... So there's a limp. So the beach party, Mm-hmm. You pay money to go down on the beach.
Yep.
To be steps away from the ocean.
Yeah.
Just really incredibly picturesque.
Yeah.
And there was food and booze.
And unlimited of each because you paid a certain price, which was 40,000 pesos or 10 bucks.
Again, yo, the currency exchange is kind of like the Pride Center at Dave and Buster's. You're like, all right, I spent $600 in quarters. I won 25,000 tickets. And what do I get? Oh, cool. An hour later and 6 bouncy balls and a laminated photo of Montel Jordan hugging an AIDS-free Magic Johnson.
Wow. Yeah. I would totally want that picture. So we go down.
First of all, how great was the MC?
Oh, he was having fun.
Yo, he was, great way to put it. He was having fun.
Yeah.
Me saying how great was saying how this guy just, they wanted a guy with charisma.
Sure.
And a guy who can keep the party moving.
You're right.
And a hype man.
Right.
That's a necessary profession.
Right.
Because you need that.
And you need that.
Obviously, we're the only ones who were there comics. And we had more appreciation for the fact that when he was trying to make jokes and they weren't hitting.
Right.
The other people in the crowd are the ones who judge because they don't know he's not a comic.
Exactly.
They see guy with mic. And as soon as you try to make a joke, you're going to be judged as a comedian.
Right. You're that guy.
Even if you're giving a speech. If you're opening a graduation, like I remember my school of theater graduation before Neil Armstrong spoke at the USC nice. Graduation, which, by the way, was incredible. He came out and he gave it the most inspiring, I was on the moon. Good luck topping that shit, motherfucker. Suck my dick. I'm out. It was just,
And that's all I need to say.
That's all you need to say.
He's like, well, I better work pretty hard.
Just clapping. I'm like, yeah, dude. I mean, you were on the moon, and we're not going to top that.
Exactly.
But this guy was just doing a lot of what we'd seen before. With a big jolly host like this, where the guy just, what's up, where are you from?
Yeah.
Oh, Connecticut? Nah, you married? How long you married? Really? Oh, that's cool. Who else married in here? How long you married?
We're married.
2 years? That shit don't count. I want somebody, if you've been married less than 10 years, that shit don't count. And that's like a joke.
Yeah.
The way, and also he's good at saying shit in a way that sounds like you should laugh afterwards.
Right.
You know,
because
he
says it where you think, okay, here comes the punchline right now.
Shit. Anybody get the potatoes? Yeah, they were good, huh? Wish there was some mustard with those potatoes.
Woo!
Like, what?
Yeah, He's killing.
Me too. Was that a joke or are you just really fired up about the lack of mustard?
So we're having some great food, we're having some booze, and we're just having a great time. Then all of a sudden, the host comes on and says, all right, everyone. It is time for the limbo competition.
Now, what goes off in your dwarf brain when you hear limbo competition?
Oh, shit! Like, I hear limbo competition?
What's the equivalent? That's the equivalent to a...
That's like at the stockholders meeting at Walmart, the one black sales rep is there just sitting there, and they're like, all right, now we're going to do a dunk contest. He's like, fuck yes! I got this!
On the mini hoops in the back, in the sporting section.
We have little tyke hoops, and they're all like 65-year-old white executives,
dude,
and the one black guy is like, I own this.
This is mine.
Yeah, so when they say limbo, I'm like, oh, this is my time to shine.
Yeah.
This is my time to shine.
And you did.
And I did. And here's the thing is, no one knows I'm a performer.
Right.
So I'm not just limboing. I'm putting a little, like, I do a little booty shake.
By the way, you're doing a great service to dwarfs everywhere. Because,
right.
But I'm speaking off of the one I know who has a lot of charisma and energy and is a lot of fun to be around all the time. But hey, man, are there dwarves that wouldn't have jumped into limbo and gotten all...
Yeah, they would have been like, I'm not degrading myself.
I mean, I'm asking
like
you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, because, they're just like, hey, I'm not going to be a show.
Yeah.
Whereas you're like, hey, people are going to fucking love what's about to happen.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing dance moves.
You're incredible.
Going up to the limbo. And
the first few times, too, you walked right under and still had the audacity to pump your fist in the air afterwards like, fuck yeah. And I saw some people who were like, I can't even get that. Like, I can't even bend down that far.
I literally walked under. Then there's like this Jamaican dude talking mad, shit in a Jamaican accent. And he's like... he's like 6'2". So he's way more flexible than me.
He was cool running as it, under every move.
Right. Feel the rhythm. Feel the line. Get on up. It's limbo time. Cool runnings. And he like backs up.
They were gonna make that until John Candy died.
Ah, cool runnings too.
Yeah.
The limbo. So, and I think the MC could tell I was cool because like after every time I went under, he's like, oh, somebody better get him out.
Yeah.
Somebody get him out.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
And so
It was down to you and, like, an old woman who they let walk through every time.
Right, every time. So I know, okay, that's not my competition.
You have to, yeah.
But then these two girls, one can only be described as an Asian acrobat.
Yeah, great way to put it.
Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque du Soleil meets, you know...
Holy, this like the Chinese
meets Kill Bill
Olympic
Volume
team.
2.
Yeah.
meets Chung Yao Fat, meets in his athletic days, meets Chun Li from Street Fighter.
Darn right. Katsa! Okay. Yeah. So
she was incredible.
Oh, she's going nuts. And then the partner, her partner, this,
Black Booty Dancer.
Black Booty Dancer named Dot. I found out her name's Dot because her real name is Dorothy, and she didn't think Dorothy was a sexy name, so she went Dot.
And I mean,
you know, well, I have a grandma named Dorothy, so I'm kind of like,
well,
yeah,
for sure.
Okay,
you're only named Dorothy if you know you were born before 1950,
right? So you know, she updated, and this girl looked straight up like when you see a Ja Rule video.
Oh yeah,
she looks like she's in the Ja Rule video.
I think she forgot where she was from, and she thought she was washing cars with her butt cheeks because. Either Nelly was playing in her head, or
right?
She was just trying to shake a quarter that was stuck in her thong
oh
out of
God.
It. And but, I mean, she was... And you know what's funny? She started doing that, and it was actually helping.
Yeah.
Like, shaking her ass in the rapper music video style was,
right.
Like, somehow getting her lower to the ground without falling and widening her stance and securing it into the sand. Then she was able to bend her neck back.
Oh.
I'm getting excited just talking about this. I'll be right back. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more about last night.
No, she was great, and you're
so
right.
So it's down to you three.
It was down to us three. They go down to a height that is probably about 3'2", because it was about the size of one of my ex-girlfriends.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. And I couldn't do it, man. I walk up, I bend back, and the thing is I got about a 14-pound head. And when you bend back and throw that thing backwards, that's a lot of weight
it
on
really
the other
is.
Side.
It really is.
And I didn't have a counterweight, so I fell over. And when I fell down, it was like the Yankees just got eliminated from the playoffs.
Oh, dude,
like,
you're so right.
Like everyone's
people
just like
were furious, man.
Everyone's just like you had the some people that were just angry, and then the some people that were like, yeah, you know what? He's the ringer. Fuck that guy.
Oh, dude,
he deserves to be out.
Dude, people were fucking furious, man.
Yeah, it was insane.
Because you, you know, you were favored.
Yeah.
Everybody saw you and was like, there's no reason this guy should not win.
But then they saw Rap Girl's titties and were like, you know what? We could probably give it to her, too.
Yeah.
And
she could also be a possible winner. Yeah, that guy was hitting on her mad, too. It was great.
Oh.
Every time she'd get on, he'd be like, damn, girl, damn, damn. And he'd like grab her when she almost fell, be like, you good. What's your name? What's your Facebook page?
I believe one time as she was going under, the MC even said, like, you know what? Even if you fall, you still in.
Yeah.
You still in.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was not about to let her.
And she ended up beating the Asian acrobat. So basically what we're trying to say, ladies, is big booty hoes, hup with it. You guys can accomplish anything.
Yeah.
And
if you put your mind to it and your butt to it, shaking it. Put your mind to it and your butt to the tune of Nelly's Hot in Here. Or
oh, done.
Country Grammar.
Mystical. Shape.
How did Country Grammar
that
go? That would always
hot
play
shit,
up.
We going down, down, baby.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
See them going the streets, sweet yeah. Baby.
And then Hot in Here went,
boom, hot in, so hot in here.
Right, yeah.
See, those songs are great because Hot in Here has that line where, like, it's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Yeah.
And when it does that, within the clubs, they start taking
Isn't
clothes off.
Isn't that amazing?
Off.
Dude, I mean, if you put any sort of, like, subliminal message behind a beat.
It's not even subliminal.
Yeah, just basically
it's just get naked.
You're right. It was very, very direct.
It's just
yeah.
Chicks, yeah. Get naked.
Show your tits and butt is basically yeah. The subtext there.
I know, and that happens with a bunch of songs. I mean, they you
But
know,
that doesn't have a nice, as good a ring to it.
Right.
It's getting hot in here, so show your tits and butt. Like, that's not going to, people, no, you're going to be able to sell that at the Target.
Any song where, like, put your hands in the air,
yeah.
Everyone puts their hands
yeah.
In the air, just like, hey, we're white, we don't know what to do.
We're fucked.
So tell us what
That's
to
really
do,
what it is.
Rhythmical black man.
Yo, that's really what it is.
Yeah.
You've really struck a chord here.
Darn right. So
I think about all the times I'm told to do something with dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go against the grain and you're like, I'm going to be my own man, I'm going to come with my own moves. That's when you get kicked out of the club for doing some weird racist shit.
Exactly. Like, hey,
you end up doing the High Hitler, and they're like, hey, man, you knew this was a fucking bar mitzvah party.
That's not good. So now, basically what I'm saying is Nelly, is if you're a subscriber to this podcast, which I'm pretty sure Nelly is, we're right in his demographic.
Nelly Furtado, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I'm like a bird.
I make a bird? Is that what you said?
No, that's your song.
I'm like a bird.
Yeah, I'm like a bird.
I thought you said, I make a bird. I was like,
sure.
I make a bird.
Sounds like a bird.
Out of origami.
Nelly, what we're trying to say is, instead of it's getting hot in her, take off all your clothes, how about we're having a great time, a lady should start blowing midgets. That should be a song. Because they'll start.
We're having a great time, so ladies start blowing dwarves. I am getting so hot, I'm having a great time. Where's Brad?
Because then I know that whatever room I'm in, all right.
Wow.
There's not going to be other dwarves.
I mean, you know,
you
bring up a good point. You also bring up a good a good new song for Nelly to resurrect his career with. Everybody needs that one thing, man.
Yeah. So just do that, Nelly. Just have instructional videos on and just go through, like, because you know how Sir Mix-a-Lot, when he released Jump On It, not Baby Got Back, Jump On It, he had, like, he sent out different versions to different areas of the country. So it would be like, Seattle, jump on it.
Oh,
and then you drive to Chicago. They're like, Chicago, jump on it. So here's what you
He's
do,
He's also
Nelly.
From Seattle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was...
Good, man.
Yeah.
So, Nelly, here's what you do. You release a ladies, blow a, and then just insert any race, group.
Oh.
So
every radio station can have the
So, like,
luxury of filling in the blank.
So, like, like Power 106.
It's like Rap Mad Libs.
Yeah. Rap Mad Libs. I need a...
That's actually a great idea for a Mad Libs book. Oh, my God. Rap lyrics and you fill in the Mad Lib?
Yeah. This girl was... Give me an adjective. Twerking!
She was rubbing her tits on my noun. Face! and then, like, two sentences later, and her friend was rubbing her tits on my car! No, we need a verb. Running! What? Wait, oh, yeah. Her tits were verb. sleeping! Dude, have you played Mad Libs before?
Right.
Her sleeping tits were pressing on my friend's car.
We need a verb. Making it rain. That's a three word. Don't care. We're using it. It's Rap Mad Libs. Her tits were making
it
rain.
What happens in Cabo stays in Cabo. Even with Mad Libs. Yeah, that's actually a great idea.
That would be great.
Rap Mad Libs.
Oh, I think.
Not forget this.
I think that's the new beach party game that they should play tomorrow night.
No, that's a great idea.
Right?
Does that exist?
I don't think it does.
All right.
Got
work to do.
People who listened to the About Last Night show, tweet us at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad. Tweet us your Rap Mad Libs. Hashtag Rap Mad Libs. Just like, give me a verb. it's going
to
be
good.
I
have to patent this before it goes viral.
See, and here's the thing, is now we're having such a good time in Cabo.
Yeah.
We're having so much fun. And then I come back to the room last night. And Adam Ray, you're in tears.
Well, here's, you know, man, first of all,
what
I was
happened?
On 3 hours sleep the night before.
Sure.
I'm on the way to the...
Oh, all right.
You know what? 1 second.
Pause.
They're probably calling to say, hey, did you fucking tip our staff member $1.06, you fuck?
Are we back?
We're back.
We're back. Okay. That was the front desk. Calling,
wondering why I was sobbing last night. Why was somebody singing the Shema and crying at 10:45 at night? So again, I almost missed my flight because I saw Sunday, May 19th the whole time. I guess I just thought in my head I was like, "You're leaving Monday,"
mm-hmm.
and I just got my flight for the wrong day.
Yeah.
So I luckily was able to get a flight.
Okay.
And get here in relatively decent time,
mm-hmm.
and which would have been awful because I would have been super bummed because I had a passport expedited as 2 weeks before we leave. Brad's like, "You got your passport?" He goes, "We invited some friends." He goes, "They can't come. They don't have passports." And I was like, "Passport? Oh yeah,
I might need that
going
to Mexico."
So luckily, Andrew Santino used to work at a passport place and hooked me up, and I got. I mean, in like 4 days.
Oh, good. Yeah, you call it.
Yeah.
Call
anyway,
a favor.
So last night, sometimes on the road sometimes you just get to a, I don't want to say lonely, but vulnerable place where you're like, I'm by myself. It's kind of nice. It's just me and my thoughts.
Right. Oh, no, and I've described this to people that I meet on the road. There, and this sucks that this happens, but this literally happens every night you do a show. You do a show, you're killing, the entire audience is just, they're in the palm of your hand.
You
you're
go from
a great
high
time.
To low in
then
10
you go,
minutes.
Yeah, then you go to your hotel room and you're by yourself, and that feeling sucks.
What other profession
every
does
night.
Set you up for that?
Like, the only thing
a
I could think of...
firefighter? Not even. You're around people all the time.
Yeah. The only thing I could think of is other performers. And that's just something that you deal with. Or, you know, baseball game or baseball players.
Yeah, but even comedy,
athletes.
Like, even, I mean, I don't know, man, maybe like jugglers or magicians. I'm sure they've got, like, the same type of, you know...
Yeah, because you're on...
Gangnam Style dance to a closer.
You're on the highest high, and then you just go back, and everyone thinks you're a god in the comedy club. And then you go back to your hotel room. And you try to text your girlfriend, and she's busy, so she's off doing shit, so she can't comfort you.
Oh,
and maybe I'm just going off on a personal rant right here, and things are getting a little emotional.
Dude, you want to – you know what? Here, keep talking for a minute.
Okay. Adam,
I'm going to read you something that I fucking
– Oh, Adam's getting up. He's going to go get something.
This shows you exactly how the road is. I sent a text. I might have texted you this, Brad, when I was in Tahoe. Did you get my long-ass text when I was in Tahoe?
I don't know. What was it?
Get ready for this, man.
Okay.
All right. So I was in Tahoe, and it was exactly what we're talking about. I was there by myself. I was headlining. Erin Foley was the feature, and she's awesome.
Great.
But she had her sister there, and they were splitting. They didn't want to hang out too late.
Right.
And I was like, all right, well, we had one show Wednesday, Thursday. So Thursday, show's over like 9:45.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm in Tahoe.
Night is young.
Casino. Night is young. There's a lot of people around. What do? I don't have any pot.
Yeah.
And this is, again, I think I told later I said where I went. I told the story on the Crab Feast where I went to the guy's room two doors down because I smelled pot, and I knocked on their door and asked if I could come smoke with them. Have I told you that story?
No, you didn't tell me that story.
Maybe I have to. Oh, shit. All right. Well,
we do that. We got time.
This is what I – this might be on the second episode of this podcast. So this is what I text him while I'm on the road in Tahoe.
This is text who?
To a buddy of mine in Seattle.
Okay.
I want you just to read this out loud.
All right.
Because you've never seen this before.
I have not.
So this is what I text. This is after the show and just the feeling of what we're talking about, being vulnerable and by yourself in a city you haven't been to before.
All right, here it is. The high from the show, everyone leaves. You go to the Hard Rock bar to have a salad and Patron on the Rocks. You watch two hammered girls hit on a guy with a handlebar mustache in his 60s. He may fuck them both. I don't care. Salad was good. Don't feel like gambling or going back to the room. Wish I had pot, but probably wouldn't smoke it. Bored. Jerked it earlier, so that's out. I wonder what Lance Armstrong is up to. Hashtag Tahoe. Good Lord, man.
Yeah, dude.
I want to slip my wrists after that.
No way.
But I mean,
that was all in jest, obviously. Like,
sure.
I was like, I wasn't depressed. I was just
just trying, you're trying to make
such
it fresh and funny.
Yeah, and I'm also, I was just bored.
Yeah.
But it was really like, well, but I'm bored in Tahoe. There's got to be something to do.
Right. So you come back to the room last night.
Yeah. And again, you by yourself. It's I know this is probably leaning towards, okay, man, cool. We don't want to hear about you masturbating while your buddy's in the other room. That's not what this story is. This is a heartwarming tale.
Yeah.
Of me going online and seeing the Facebook news feed, somebody post a story about this kid who was diagnosed with terminal cancer when he was 14.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote this song because he like loves music. Had all these celebrities make like basically lip sync to the video of
kinda
him,
like a "We Are the World" type
thing. He died yesterday, so they, which was already sad because I had been like I followed his story a little bit. As soon as he got diagnosed with it when he was 14, they didn't give. They said maybe a year. He lived 4 years, so still pretty incredible.
That's awesome. Well, that's
cool. But the kid, he's got two brothers and sisters. His parents, great family. He's like. And then basically I just end up watching a like mini documentary on this kid, like 15 minutes, and of interviewing him and talking about, he says, I want to be known for that I didn't quit fighting, like that I was like, that I was, that I won or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, and then he's interviewing his like younger sister who was like his best friend, and like having them like talk about him being, dude, it was just like way too much. I was a couple drinks in, I'm coming down.
Yep.
And dude, I am just, I don't know if I've cried like that in a long time, man. Like,
wow.
I honestly, like, I mean, it wasn't to the point, like, I don't think I can't remember the last time I've cried where it's been like, loud and like, you know, you're panting and huffing and puffing.
Yeah, you got the little snot bubbles.
Yeah, probably my grandpa died when it was that, but this was just like, you're in Cabo, you're on vacation. So part of you's like, why are you crying on vacation? The other half of you's like, hey man, your buddy's in the other room. Don't wake him up with your fucking tears. He comes up. Also, and for sure, the same way that you check when, if you're, you know, jerking it and you have somebody else there and you're checking.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I would cry, and at a point when I would like, like I would look over to see if you would come out, because I was like, all right, yeah, what's more embarrassing? You coming out seeing me like jerking it, or you coming out seeing me crying to a cancer video on Facebook?
I would rather see you cry. I'd rather see you jerking it.
Yeah,
to be honest with you. Yeah, because sure. At least
it's weirder. Because at least
yourself.
You're like, yeah, and at least you're like, cool. That's something that I do too.
I mean, you know, your porn tastes are a little different than mine.
Although, what if? Yeah, I'm not even gonna go where I was about to go and be like, what if I was doing both?
Perfect.
What
but then, well, talking about it's funny. You mentioned porn and like jerking it or crying. The weird part is the weird part.
We'll be right back.
The weird part.
Where are you going with this?
No.
You mentioned
just
jerking
listen.
It, porn, and crying.
Just listen.
And I just want to tell you that that's every Sunday for me.
Just listen. I have a point.
You're describing my Wednesday.
My point is that when you see something like sad, either on Facebook or in the news or whatever, how long do you go? Like that could be a major buzzkill.
Oh, before clicking on it, yeah. Well, that's why I knew because I, you know.
Well, no, I wasn't going there.
Oh.
Like, before, like, let's say, okay.
Oh, you have a date that night?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because this happened to me after the Boston Marathon bombings. And everyone was talking about it, and it's sad. But then you're going out on a date, and it's like.
But you want to be, but you're also like, I want to be caught up to date so I can talk about current events.
Right.
I want to have some knowledge, so I click on some articles. I click on some photo. No.
Right.
And you see a photo of a leg dismembered
or
a face.
And it's just terrible. And then you're on this date, and. You know, obviously it's in the news, so you're both talking about it, and like you're waiting. When's the perfect moment to be like, okay, yeah, the Boston things are a tragedy, but how am I going to get it in tonight? Like, how do you make that transition?
I don't know when you do. I mean, it's because like if I had had a date or any sort of arrangement,
right, last night,
there's no way. I mean, at that point, I think 3 minutes into that video. And as soon as the first tear rolled out of my eye, my dick basically was just like, hey, man, not happening tonight. I'm going to sleep. So don't try to wake me up.
I'm peacing out.
Because if you do, you know, I might fucking just pull a improv and go limp on you and maybe break us.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And do some embarrassing stuff. It's kind of like, I mean, it's kind of like whenever you take your girl on a movie date.
Yeah.
You always... I don't care if you look at that chick flick that you're going to go see and be like, all right, I know every nuance of that plot. That's obvious.
Yeah.
No, you still check it out. Check out the reviews. Check out the plot because you don't want to be there and then have something crazy happen in the movie. And then she's like, oh, my God, that guy just cheated. You do that, don't you?
Yeah.
Or like,
God, yeah.
Or like the main character's best friend is a rock star or a comedian or someone on the road. He's like, oh, well, so-and-so just banged 40 chicks and got an STD. And she's like, that's what you do, don't you? And you're like, oh, fuck, no.
Why do they do that to us, man?
I know.
You know what? And this is, quite honestly, the problem with, like, reality TV, like The Bachelor and shit. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, hey, man, I'm not saying, like, The Bachelor. Like, that guy, you know, 4 dates in, took that girl, or 5 dates in, closed the show, and went elephant riding into the Thailand sunset. Hey, cocksucker, you're fucking it up for the rest of us. That's 5 dates in. Five dates in for most of us. Hey, you want to go to the Outback and watch Pirates of the Caribbean 2 on Blu-ray? That doesn't sound as cool after I just watched this fucking guy walk right endangered species into the sunset like Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade. And it's like, I'm not saying don't be creative because obviously like, you know, this even goes for guys who like propose to their women using the Jumbotron. Like, you got to be creative because that's – women want romance, and there's no reason for you to not think outside the box. Using the Jumbotron, if you've ever used that, you should jump into a river with a bowling ball. And I'm not saying kill yourself. I'm just saying jump into a river with a bowling ball and look like an idiot in a park for a little bit.
Sure, and at least like scare yourself a little bit.
Because, dude, just pointing to something and going, hey, look at that. Eh? Like, that's pretty much what you're doing with proposing on Jumbotron. But, like, why they get conditioned to think that TV is, and movies, is the, when you say the girls want this fairy tale ending or the...
Sure.
It's like they watch this guy right off into the sunset, and not that they expect it, but a small part of them goes, now they're just judging us with that barometer of, like, of excellence, of creativity, where it's like, you know, I wrote a song for you for Valentine's Day. Oh, cool. That's great. Yeah, no, I mean, on The Bachelor, He wrote a song for it and had Jason Mraz sing it. But, you know, you're like, yeah, but
I don't know Jason Mraz.
That would be like if I saw an episode of The Bachelor and at the end of the date, they get into the car and to go on the date and two more girls pop out of the back seat.
Yeah.
And she goes, I brought a couple friends. Right. We're all going to fuck you in your car. And then you cut to you on your actual date and she gives you a kiss goodnight and you go, whoa, that's it? And she goes, what do you mean? And he goes, well, on The Bachelor, this guy had a threesome in his car. And she goes, well, that's TV. And he goes, exactly.
Exactly.
It's not real. So you can't start expecting that.
I know, because women just want this over-exaggerated romance. And what they don't realize is that you're a comedian and you go on the road sometimes to Ohio and you're feeling really lonely. Uh-oh. And then you go out to a strip club and then there's an Asian stripper with size double D titties and she's got daddy issues, and because she's Asian, she's been around small people her entire life, so she's a little comfortable with it. She's not quite freaked out with your dwarfism, and she grabs you in the champagne room, and all of a sudden while she's giving you that lap dance, shit gets real. You have that moment where you lock eyes and she looks at you and thinks, wow, maybe if I fuck this guy, I'll feel a little less dead inside, and you go back to the hotel room, and you just have mad sex. Just because that happens doesn't mean I don't love you. What happened?
I never said it didn't. That's hilarious.
What happened?
That's hilarious.
Not that I was speaking from personal experience.
No, man. That was for a friend.
That was just a general...
Hey, man, it was for a friend.
You know what? You had an interesting question to me when we were doing the limbo competition last night. Is you looked at me, you're like, dude, this is awesome. You're like succeeding in something minorly athletic, and you asked me if I had did I play sports when I was in
elementary school. Sports in elementary school, but then also, what was your go to game at recess? Because I was a fat kid, mm-hmm. and in football, people picked me first because nobody wanted to be tackled by me.
Right.
And I know that because somebody said that as they picked me once. It was just fucking Honest John who was just like, we're picking Adam. And then somebody goes, what? And he goes, dude, I don't want to be tackled by him. I'm hearing this as I'm walking over to my team.
Right.
Quote unquote team.
Yeah. Your team. And you're like, man.
My friends for 20 minutes.
If I wasn't eating these Thin Mints, I'd be really depressed right now.
If I didn't have Girl Scout cookies in my pocket. So it was football. Basketball was always great because I was a quick fat kid, and I just basketball was my sport.
Quick twitch.
Kickball. I could kick the ball far.
Yeah.
But most of mine wasn't picked. Football was the only one I was picked first, or maybe basketball. But there was, again, quicker, more athletic kids.
Sure.
Always.
My game was basketball, and I know you're like, what? Brad's a midget. Yeah, but in elementary school, the height gap wasn't that different.
Yeah.
You know, once I get to junior high, I'm at 4 foot. Everyone's like 5'2", whatever.
Yeah, but
okay.
No, first through fifth grade, you're on par with everybody.
Yeah, the height difference is 6 inches. It's not that great. I mean, I'm 3'4". They're 3'8". Perfect.
Yeah, it's golden.
So basketball was great, but and I think we all had this kid. You all had the kid that was picked last, that just came out.
Oh God.
He wanted to be cool.
Yeah.
Every time, no matter how many times he got picked last, he would still show up. Showed a lot of heart. Did you have one of those kids? Because I know I did.
Yeah, I mean, God, who was that kid?
I know mine. Mine was Tay Kim.
I was just going to say mine was a foreign kid.
Oh, really?
It was Tayon.
Tayon?
Tayon. And you know what he used to say?
What's that?
I do your grandma. That was his comeback. I do your grandma. Yo. Yeah,
I do your grandma?
I do your grandma.
Oh.
6th, 7th, 8th grade. I do your grandma. Like... He was funny because I remember in my circle of buddies, we never made fun of him. but we would set him up to say things to him that he would say because he knew that he'd say that back and it would make us laugh.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, hey, like it was like, you know, hey, Tayon, did you, how'd you do on the math test? It was tough for me to think about it because I kept thinking about your mom naked. And he'd just be like, I do your grandma.
And that was his awesome.
Comeback every time. Yeah.
Oh, that works.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like the foreign kid and he wants to fit in because Tay Kim, he was definitely it. But, and if I ever have the chance to make movies, I'm going to make this movie, okay? Tay was picked last every time. Fat Asian kid, glasses, just most unathletic.
Yeah.
But then.
But he stuck in. He came to every game to try to participate.
And this is, yeah, this is like the Asian Rudy.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you need to say. That's all you need for the pitch.
Rudy. Rudy. Rudy.
Oh my God.
Rudy.
Asian Rudy.
Rudy. So, Tay sucks. And then one day, we're playing dodgeball. And there's three players left on one team. It's Tay, and then two kind of whatever guys, and then the best guy, the best most athletic kid named TJ. He's got the ball on the other side, and he's like, "All right, I got three guys left to knock out. Obviously, I'm gonna go to Tay."
Yeah.
So he runs at Tay, chucks it. We're all just like, and we're all goading him to do it because it's like we want to see how hard you can hit Tay.
Yeah.
Because people would like he had one where. He got hit right in the face. His glasses like exploded on his face, and he started crying. And we felt bad.
And he's seen that moment in slow mo. By the way,
oh yeah,
anytime a glasses break on a nerdy fat Asian kid,
oh,
like
dude.
It's in slow mo, and he's that moment is lasting for hours.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm sure he's having flashbacks to that moment. And then here comes TJ. He's going right at Tay. Throws it. Tay catches the ball. And, like, he's never caught one.
And by the way, snapping a ball that's being chucked out of midair really hard is, like, an incredible athletic feat in general.
Yeah.
Like, I mean.
It's just, and when you do it, and TJ threw hard, man, and Tay just palms it, everyone just goes apeshit. Like,
there's, like, wait, there's like half a second of, like, wait, what?
And yeah. Then.
Right? Yeah.
And Tay, like, holds up the ball.
God.
He holds up the ball above his head and starts showing it to everyone, like, I got the ball.
Wait, was he screaming?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, dude.
And that, of course, means TJ's out and he was the last player. So Tay won the game. Dude, and that's going to be my Mighty Ducks movie.
Oh, yeah, dude.
When I make money, take
what
him.
A fucking.
If you're out
take
there.
Take him, what would you call it?
Oh, let's see. A good Tay to die.
Why? Because at the end he kills himself?
No,
or he's thinking about killing himself.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah.
He has that
then he has that moment. And then
that turns his life
yeah.
around.
Yeah, or a Tay that will live in infamy.
Holy shit, that's
how's
so
that?
Funny.
Would you not go see a Tay that will live in infamy?
No, I mean, that's...
T-A-E?
Really, that's really fucking funny.
Man, it's funny that they were both foreign kids for us, but I guess you know they come in, they want to be accepted.
Yeah, I mean elementary school recess is maybe one of the most nerve-wracking places in the world and like scenarios
yeah.
because it's 20 to 30 minutes of I mean you think you're at least when you're sitting in class you're all there for the same purpose is like to learn but like
right.
And you don't really have defined role. I mean, you're at desks of four kids, maybe,
mm-hmm.
but you're all answering to one person, and you don't really get to be your own person out there because it's like you're being told what to do.
Right.
Hey, it's silent reading now, so shut the fuck up and read a book and stop eating fart crackers, Adam.
Which, by the way, silent reading code for teacher's got a hangover. Kids, shut
that's
the fuck up.
That's hilarious. Stop talking. I don't want to talk. I don't want to hear you talk.
Yeah, and I've shown movies the last 3 days. I can't do it for a fourth.
Mrs. Greenland, we've watched The Chosen 3 times already.
Shut up.
It's this, then To Kill a Mockingbird, then it's 2001 Space Odyssey. If you don't like it, you can get the fuck out.
Perfect. Yeah, they always did that. And now you look back and like you realize that teachers are human. You're like, yeah, that's probably exactly
yeah, no,
what
that's
they
a,
were
that's
doing.
A, yeah, of course. But like recess, it's just like you're trying to fit in. And I mean, you know, mm-hmm. you're with whether it's athletics or whatever. And it's like there's no – those recess teachers, man, they didn't actually do shit. Like
no.
They didn't – like they're making sure you don't dunk after the whistle,
mm-hmm.
which was a rule for us. Like you can't shoot the ball after the whistle. Which is basically a power trip.
Yeah.
Don't get in fights. Yeah, monitor that stuff.
Right.
But like, they're not monitoring. That's why, you know, and that's why I just ended up writing this pilot about it, and which I'm going to start shopping around. Where, because I worked at an elementary school as an assistant to the recess teacher, as I prefaced before my dig a hole to China joke, which was real. Not what I said to him, but like everything, him asking me that with these eyes of like really thinking it was possible if we dug really fast and for a couple weeks. But it, like, I was a organizer of games, like, and also not just, but I really like got to know these kids and like, you know, didn't give them life lessons, but like took more of an investment in them other than just being like, hey, don't step over the line, or hey, don't throw the ball that hard.
Yeah, it was like, hey, stop crushing that one kid's skull with a rock. Please.
I mean, I would do that, but like,
sure,
you know, in a not make the kid feel like shit or like single them out, but keep them all on the same level. And I mean, there was one kid that would, it was tough, man. He, I would single out the kids who were kind of like outcasts, and this one kid didn't play, they wouldn't pick him for dodgeball, so I took out one of the really good kids and put this kid on their team. And they're like, what? Hey, I was like, dude, we're all playing the same. He's good. I go, have you seen him throw whatever? And this kid, I didn't even know if he could throw or not, but I was like, I just want to get him on this other team so he can feel included. Dude, this kid fucking is throwing laser beams.
Nice.
And the kid who was giving me shit was like, he's pretty good. Hell yeah. And I five. I was like, dude, that's awesome.
And now you're raising that kid's self-esteem.
Yeah.
It's good.
Then there was another kid who was an outcast, and he always wanted to play Star Wars with me. So he wanted to run around the park improvising scenarios from Star Wars. Hey, Brad, if you know anything about me, I don't know shit about Star Wars other than that Harrison Ford was in it and he used to be a carpenter before he got Indiana Jones. And that Chewbacca, you know, makes the same noise that I make when I'm constipated on an airplane toilet. Yeah. Not only are you 35,000 feet in the air and things are already not going to come out according to plan, but, you know, nature has decided
all right,
to.
Well, now I'm going to know what to think when I'm two rows ahead of you and I just hear from the back. I'm like, oh shit, someone get Adam some prune juice.
Someone get Adam some prune. Prune juice, aisle 7.
Make that happen.
So this kid's like, let's play Star Wars. So we're running around. I kid you not. I should do this as a bit because we're running around and he's like, quick, we got to get to the Millennium Falcon. I go, yeah, the Millennium Falcon. I mean, that's, you know, that's just the cafeteria. I wonder if it's Taco Tuesday. Can we take a little break? You know, and then and he's like, you know, hurry, the stormtroopers are coming after us. And I take out like a fake stick. I was like, zoom, zoom. I start throwing it at him. He goes, what are you doing? I go, I was hitting him with the stick blazer. He goes, the what?
The stick blazer.
Dude, it's when he goes, the what, after I said the stick laser. Oh, man. It was like my life flashed before my eyes. I was like, shit, man. I just let down a whole nation. I just let down a whole nation of kids.
Yeah.
As far as being, like, somebody they could relate to.
And it's funny. Like, you're the adult in that situation.
I want to be like, yo, motherfucker. I'm 30 years old. I don't know what the fuck we're playing with right now. What are we fighting these imaginary villains with, man?
But think that's the
don't
thing.
Don't you smell that fucking cheese from the cafeteria?
When you're a kid, that's real. It's so real to you.
Dude, yeah.
And when someone comes out and says, "Yeah, I'm Han Solo, and I'm gonna hit you with a stick laser," you're like, "Hey, asshole!
Yeah,
Han Solo doesn't have a stick laser, you fucktard.
Yeah, dude.
He's got a blaster.
Yeah.
And by the way, he shot first. Fuck Greedo.
Yeah.
But
there are rules to the imagination, though. Like, I mean, it's like, hey, man, you can think of anything. You can bring anything into this world. This make-believe world, but be somewhat like, you know, there are some rules, like, shit, man, the world of make-believe on Mr. Rogers, you know, when he was like, hey, let's go into the world of make-believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they went on that little train, and they had King Friday and all those other fucking creepy-ass puppets. you know, like, anything went, obviously.
Yeah.
It was like, you know.
The make-believe.
Yeah, it was like, hey, let's go over to the fucking, I haven't seen it in a while, but it was, fucking, you know, but like, obviously there were still some rules. You couldn't, like, you know. Mr. Rogers couldn't just show up and be like, hey, who wants some ecstasy? You know, like, he is like, hey, man, yes, you're using your imagination right now.
Right.
You're thinking outside the box.
Well,
maybe don't give hallucinogenic pills to puppets.
He wouldn't say ecstasy. He'd be like, I have peppermint candies that make you go on a magical journey. He'd be like,
I have peppermint candies.
I like peppermint candies.
I love how you say peppermint candies, by the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, that you hear a midget say peppermint candies, it just puts a smile on your face.
That must be it.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I just realized something. We went all this time and didn't go back to your penis story. We've been doing the whole podcast.
You have about 6-7 minutes left.
Yeah, so
all right.
What's the penis story?
Well, I mean, real quick, it was about the woman saying booking penises. And so
reset the scene.
I've got the audio.
Real quick.
Well, so she, I was doing crowd work, and again, talking about having an hour to do for stand up is great because you just get to take your time. Mm-hmm. So I'm a lot more adventurous with my crowd work, and I allow to not just have quick moments. So I asked woman, I go, "What do you do?" She goes, "She goes bookkeeping purposes is what she had said, bookkeeping." Something.
Yeah.
And I go, booking penises? And everyone laughs. I go, I'm not trying to make a joke. I swear to God, I thought that's what you just said. I go, now, if you actually are like, you hire male gigolos and mm-hmm. you're trying to be like fancy with the description, maybe you don't think that I understand the world that you live in. So right. you're like, I don't want to just come out and say it. Like, I'm booking penises. Like, the same guy. It's like when you're like, hey, what do you do? Oh, I put meat on bread. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a Subway sandwich artist. Like, you know. And so I go, booking penises. I go, maybe you're booking a band called Penises. I go, the names of bands are so crazy these days. Maybe it's like, I'm booking penises around the country. And let me finish my sentence. I'm booking them in Nebraska, Toledo, Tallahassee, wherever they'll play. You know what it's like, comedian. You're in Denver. And so she was like, booking penises, like that's, you know, that could be the name of a band. I mean, obviously, you know, and then I go off on this whole rant about like, if your music's good, you can be named anything. That's the beauty of having a band. You know,
absolutely.
If U2 was me three, nobody would have given two shits, you know? If the Beatles were the Beaners, you'd be like, that's kind of racist, but I'm still going to go see their show in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I started making up all these weird band names, like, you know, hey, you guys know if the Queefy Peanuts are playing tonight?
if their music rocks,
yo, two for Queefy Peanuts.
You're good.
Yeah, you're gonna go. So then a guy slowly gets up to leave and we had some other penis. Oh, and he gets up to leave and I go, oh, you had enough, man? He goes, yeah. And then he pauses and he goes, no, I'm gonna go take care of the penis. And he walks to the bathroom, and I start laughing, and I go, hey, man. I go, you know what's funny? I go, when you said yeah, in my head, I went, fuck this guy. And then when you went, gonna go take care of the penis, funniest thing I've heard in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And I go, now we're friends. And
that
then,
was good.
And then I go, taking care of the penis. I go, what a weird way to say that you're gonna go to the bathroom. I go, but maybe that's a very, you know, because I know, obviously, we know what he's gonna go do. And then I pause, and I go, now that I think about it, I think this guy's going to beat off in the bathroom. Somebody better go stop him. I go, security? I go, anyone who gets up and goes, I'm going to go take care of the penis. Because, hey, man, if you're peeing, you're not taking care of anything. The penis is doing the work.
Right.
You're taking care of it. Yeah. You're taking matters into your own hands, literally.
Literally.
Yeah. And so this is all happening on stage.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's just, but so, again, having all that time to take the time to let those moments happen. Because then at that point I got up to about 40 minutes, and mm-hmm. I had him light me, and I go, look, light me at 40, I'll probably do 50.
Yep.
And I go, and then I still had a ton of material left.
Good.
And I didn't even get to probably 20 minutes of stuff that I do, because I was working on a lot of new stuff.
Yeah, doing crowd work and anything like that.
Yeah, so then I did maybe about, I did just 20 more after that, and I checked in with people to see if they wanted to stick around, and everybody was down, and then...
Nice.
And then that was
That's
it.
Good. Well, my question for you also, so this was like your first... Like, you've headlined before, but this
I've been on a few weekends, like, in Vegas and then the Atlanta Improv and the Lake Tahoe Improv. And those were great weekends, but, I mean, this was, a club that...
You've heard so much about.
Pretty prestigious. Totally.
Like, all right.
And a lot, Harlan was just there, Jay Moore coming up as a tell, you know, Saget. So it's like, yeah, man, like, you forget to, in this whole business in general, to pat yourself on the back sometimes. It's like, hey, man, they're not just giving me a one-nighter because they had a free night. Like, they had to approve, like, you know, through my agent pitching me, through being there at the other club with Chris, through whatever they saw. I mean, they've got local guys. They've got, they could also say, no, man. I mean, obviously they want business versus no business, but... And there was about 80 people there in the crowd on Sunday night, which was fine for a Sunday, you know, and with not being a draw or whatever. But,
It works out.
But, like, still, getting to headline, like, do an hour at a club like that, you're like, yeah, that's pretty awesome that I got to do that.
Good, man. And then how'd you deal with the check drop? Because that was always that was always the weirdest part, going from feature to headline.
I was doing my fat kid jokes.
Yeah.
And so some of them started to slow down.
And just so our listeners know, the check drop is when the headliner's on stage. At about 30, 35 minutes in, they you guys need to pay, so they drop checks. Now, this is usually a shitty time to be a headliner. Because you guys are all paying attention to the comedy. You guys are in there. You guys are in that comedic zone with us.
Yeah.
And the checks drop, and you're like, oh, well, now let's figure out how to split this bill up. I got to pay the... What? They charge $14 for a Mai Tai? Fuck these people.
Yeah.
And now the audience is kind of lost, but you're still having to make them laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Because some people are
still listening. Some people have already done their checks. Some people are getting ready to bail on their checks. Don't even say it.
Yeah, so that's that was always the hardest part for me going from.
No, I mean, sorry, I acknowledged it for a minute, and then I just was like, and I just started to power through, and then a few of these jokes, and then after I did a couple more fat kid jokes, I go, is this? You guys all got fat kids? You're getting super quiet on me. I go, is this like, have I struck a chord? And then you're just looking down and like you can't stop. Because you're right, you have to. So I kept powering through, and then I ended up doing a little more crowd work with the pothead in the front row. I talked about how the altitude change really fucked me up, and how it was the
hell yeah, it does.
Everyone says one drink will fuck you up, one drink will fuck you up, and I didn't really realize it, but it is true. Because up until I came to Denver, it was the first time I tried to rob a 7-Eleven on half a glass of Pinot Grigio. I go, but hey, sometimes you just need that Kit Kat, man.
Hey, Pinot will fuck you up, man. I think there's many. Speaking of drinks. There's many fruity drinks and rum drinks down by the pool right now here in the Cabo Azul Resort in Mexico. So I think
we should go get them.
I think you and I should go get them. Thanks for
great show.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Adam, where can they find you?
Find me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. All the videos, AdamRayTV.com. A lot of tour dates starting to book up, so check out all the sites on there. And then be on Chelsea Lately, June 24th.
Craig
Ferguson, June 12th.
Yeah, buddy.
Plugging the fuck out of the podcast.
Darn right. And our brand new home with the fake mustache studios.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Jay Moore.
This episode will be appearing on. Yeah, dude, Jay Moore. God, I can't even tell you how fired up I am about this. He's no joke my favorite podcast.
Yeah.
And
he's got others like the Crab Feast on there.
Oh,
which
yeah,
is great.
Dude. Jay and Ryan Sickler. Jay Larson, Ryan Sickler. Incredible. It's we're honored to be a part of this and hopefully bring some nice flavor to it. And help grow the viewership.
So we love our new home. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad, BradWilliamsComedy.com. I'm booked up pretty much until the end of September, every week. So
find
out.
Brad in the city.
Yeah, find out when I'm coming to you. And then, this is for Adam Ray, Brad Williams. John Stamos will be a guest next week.
John Stamos.
So shout out to John
Stamos.
Wait,
are we going to start saying that John Stamos is or that we want John Stamos? Or sorry we didn't have time for John Stamos?
Well,
we got to figure out what we're going to do.
Well, see, Kimmel does Sorry Matt Damon, we didn't have time.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going
to
do...
Because I don't want to actually start getting people... We need to let people know because they start coming back and there's no Stamos. And they're like, yo, this is some sick trick.
So I'm just going to say that we're very excited to have John Stamos on next week.
Great. That's all you need to say.
So that's going to be my thing with him. For Adam Ray, I'm Brad Williams. It's the About Last Night show. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.